discussion is brought to you by Government Communication and Information System, GCIS, a nation that works for all.
Yes, indeed. We do have our interviewees in the studio and we're about to start our interview. Mr. Clement, thank you so much for making time, as well as your colleagues. I'm talking about Petunia Lenono as well as Coach Harriet Ngwabe. Tell us through and talk about forms of gender-based violence.
A very good afternoon to you and all the beautiful listeners of Port FM, your Kasi, your Stasi. And I must say I'm excited once again to be given an opportunity to share with all the beautiful listeners. As you have mentioned, this afternoon we are talking about different forms of gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, whenever we speak about violence, what comes into the minds of people is the gushing out of blood, you know, somebody's bleeding.
True.
There are gun shootings and all that.
Yes.
But just to, you know, narrow it down and simplify it, when we speak about violence, it's basically you violating somebody's rights.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment I violate your rights, that on its own is also regarded as violence.
Yes.
And the different forms of violence that we'll be looking into today, just to name a few, we'll be touching on intimate partner violence,
mm-hmm.
Sexual violence, economic violence, and psychological abuse.
Mm.
Like I've said, just to name a few. So we have more than that. And then the most popular one in our country, mm-hmm. it is sexual violence.
True.
One of the things which is said, you know, about South Africa, on a global scale, we have been recorded as the capital of rape. What does that mean? The highest rates, the highest cases of rapes in the world, they are recorded in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And one will ask themselves a question, why in South Africa do we have the highest rates of sexual violence or rape, if I were to put it that way?
Mm-hmm.
It also goes down to the law. The law can be intensified, but if it is not implemented,
yes,
we will have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady, I think most people, they've seen a video of a lady who once appeared before a joint sitting where President Cyril Ramaphosa was at. And then that lady took off her dress just to show the president her scar on her belly.
Mm.
And then she started elaborating the story to say, I was raped. And then a group of young boys who raped me, they used plastic to rape me, and then that plastic went into my stomach, and then it had to be surgically removed.
Yeah.
And then one of the sad things that she mentioned was, when those boys finished raping me, with confidence they started saying, even if you can go and report us, there's no one who will arrest us, there's no one who will do anything to us.
Mm.
And then she was standing before the president to say, even today as I stand before you, justice is not served. So we need to call out upon our justice system, call out upon the justice system to say, it's very much important then in this period in history for the justice system to intensify the law, not only to intensify it, but also to make sure that it is implemented.
Mm.
And then, Mena, if I was the president of the state, I will do things, implement laws like in India, where if you are found to have had raped a woman,
yes,
or a man, it is equivalent to a death penalty.
Yes.
So people, you know, because of the law is not intensified,
mm.
they find themselves, you know, doing the things that they're doing because they know that I do it today and tomorrow I'm free. I walk on the streets.
Hmm. Speaking in regards to that, how would the, you know, the law help victims such as the lady you just spoke about? What do you think are the measures that should be taken into place in regards to sexual assault?
The measures that should be taken into place, it's simple, implementation.
Mm-hmm.
In South Africa, the law is there. The issue that we have is implementation.
Yes.
And in many department sectors, there's a whole lot of incompetency. You know, we need to remove rotten potatoes, which are corrupting good potatoes. It goes down to leadership. John C. Maxwell says the following. He says, the rise and the fall of any organization, it lies with leadership.
Yes.
So if our country were to rise and combat the issues of GBV, it starts with leadership.
Yes.
If we don't look into leadership, the people whom we appoint into places. One thing I like about America, they are intentional, even with their military. Psychological assessments, you go through different departments for them to locate in you if this thing that you are about to embark on as a career, is it something that you do out of the love of your country, or you do it because of it's a paying job? Today we have people who just ambitious about, I want to work for the government because it comes with benefits. So you are there as a soldier, but you don't have passion to protect your country. And when the war breaks, you can't even use a gun because you don't have it in you.
Yes,
so it's very much important that we implement measures in place that will allow us to put the right people in right position. So you can have a position which is right, but have a wrong person in that position.
Sure.
It is equivalent to distraction.
Speaking of importance, how important is to give consent in sexual violences? How important is it? I want us to talk about the importance of consent in sexual violence. You know, you spoke about, you know, rape. There is also intimate partner violence, which I need Sis Petra to give, you know, insight about it. But since you are in sexual violence, does it mean that if I have a partner and I did not give consent to them, or in a way I had not agreed or disagreed to the their intimacy, does it then be associated with rape, or is it consensual because they are my partner?
Thanks for that question. I always tell my brothers that the moment you are with a lady and then she says, she gives you a yes no. Now, please get that when I say a yes no.
What is a yes no?
A yes no is I'm saying no, but I'm laughing. I'm also giving you the thing of no, we can do it. But for the mere fact that she said no, please hold on to that no. Because with some people, it starts with a no. And then fast forward, they be like, you know, and then tomorrow you wake up, there's a case. So whether a no comes with a smile or it comes with a frown, it doesn't matter the mood.
Yeah.
A no remains
a no.
No. Yeah. Unless you are given a consent that we can do it, it's a mutual thing. Then if it's mutual, then we good.
Let me bring Sis Petra into this conversation, talking about intimate partner violence. I want us to talk about, you know, the prevalence and impact of violence within intimate relationships, including physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. Most people go through the two, which is mostly one factors that we all see and talk about, which is physical and sexual, but others don't talk about emotional abuse.
Yes, thank you so much, Kayla, for having us. And the emotional part is actually the most important part, because if you really think about it, before we can really have a healthy sexual relationship, it starts with the emotions.
Yes,
so
true.
Everything revolves around emotions. So when we talk about intimate partners, we're talking about people who are acquainted with each other, so they are in some sort of relationship, mainly romantic relationship with each other. So they know each other. They are not strangers, you know. And in relationships, I always say things do not end wrong. They start wrong.
Yes.
From the beginning, you know, people show us who they are from the very beginning.
And we don't believe
we
them.
Don't, you know. We decide to turn a deaf ear or to look the other way. And there are many factors that can be influencing that. Sometimes you find that you are desperate as a woman. You want to be seen to be with somebody.
Yes.
Or you want to get married.
Yes.
You know, the society has a way of dictating to us to say at a particular
at this age,
you must be married. So if you're not married, then you are labeled and whatever. So you end up committing yourself in wrong relationships.
Sure.
You know, so, and I always say that we must be cognizant of the people's background. We are raised differently. We have been exposed to different traumas. You know, some people, they come from different childhoods. You know, so they grow up with that wound that is not healed. And then now you are at an age where you can get involved in a relationship you have not healed.
Yes.
The automatic thing or the normal thing is that you're going to bleed on your partner.
Speaking about that, do you think it's that also relates to psychological abuse? Because that also leads up to things like manipulation, controlling the partner.
Yes.
Do you think it is things that happened in the past that make them to be the way they are and actually end up being abusive in relationship?
Yes, in most cases, you know, there's no absolution in life.
Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, it starts from your upbringing as a child.
Yes.
But then sometimes it also starts as an adult because you may be in relationships, ne?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get hurt constantly in relationships. So there's a particular narrative that you build for yourself to say maybe the next partner that I'm going to get for the sake of the others who hurt me, I'm going to have is a revenge thing on the next partner. You know, which might not necessarily be something that you learned from childhood.
True.
But then you know, theory has taught us to say a person's personality is built up from childhood, so we cannot run away from it.
Yes.
And we see that they are, I think, three personality types that make somebody to be more susceptible to being an abuser. You know, things like narcissistic traits, we know. That is somebody who just loves themselves beyond everybody.
Yes.
So if you're with that kind of a person, this is somebody who feels or who thinks that the world revolves around them. So it's about them. It's about their happiness. It's about their satisfaction. So the partner is seen as an object that can be used and fired whenever they need to be discarded. That is why they have a tendency of becoming violent, because now when the partner has had enough of the behavior, they want to leave. You can't leave such a person because now you are injuring their ego, and they don't take lightly to that, because remember that the world revolves around them.
Yes.
So being with you, they're actually doing you a favor. So who are you to leave me? And that is what pushes them to really resort to violence, to just regain their sense of self and their sense of importance. The other one is an antisocial personality trait.
Yes.
This is somebody who is emotionally cut off. You know, there are some people that no matter how much you love, they can never receive that love.
Yeah.
They can never reciprocate.
It's like a rock.
You know? And you find that they selectively choose partners that would always want to give. So you find that as a partner, you're trying to give this person and you have a belief that one day, you know, I'll get it right. One day they will be healed. But you never get it right.
You're always pouring in.
And then you, at the same breath, you are becoming emotionally drained.
Yes.
They also don't take lightly to being rejected. So they fear rejection, you know, with all their hearts. So, and this is somebody who's also very manipulative. So in front of people, there may be this loving partner, the ideal partner.
Yes.
You know, the one that will open car doors for you. But I'm not saying that all men who open car doors they will put a chair for you. They will go the extra mile in front of people. But behind closed doors, it's a different story. Then we have another one who has a borderline personality. There's somebody who's emotionally unstable, you know, and everything good that happens in their life, they want to just destroy it. That is just their nature. So even in relationships, the more good you want to do, the more good you want to give, they always want to destroy what you guys have because of the emotional instability. So it's the whole fear of being emotionally intimate, you know, which ends up in some kind of physical abuse or even sexual abuse because the issues of control also come into place. You know, where they want to control you, they want to control the situation because of fear. You know, that if you leave alone and you're going to go with the ladies or the gents, there might be somebody.
Yes.
So they're driven by fear, excessive fear. So they always want to control the situation that we are in. And we also need to be cautious of a depressed person.
But how do I know somebody is depressed? How do I see them? Because I'm normal, like this page, too, having my lipstick on. But how do I even know that this person is depressed? Because some people don't show emotions.
True.
They don't even talk.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody doesn't talk, that's the first sign. that this person might be depressed. They don't talk, they don't open up, but they are closed in. And somebody who has unstable sleeping patterns. Somebody who's depressed is somebody who will oversleep or undersleep.
Okay.
You know, the, so the sleep is disturbed.
Yes.
Either they sleep less than normal or they sleep over. So the extremes are not wanted.
Yes.
Somebody who's into substances all of a sudden. You know, a depressed person is somebody who has no interest in activities that they used to be interested in. And is somebody who wants to be alone most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, so depression, you can sort of like see it. And is somebody who will always say things like, I wish I was dead. Not necessarily that they want to commit suicide, but they feel overwhelmed with the pressures of life. And they just feel that, you know, the earth can just open and swallow
me.
You know, that the kind of a thing. I don't want to commit myself, but I wish I was not here. You know, somebody who's not motivated to do anything. You know, that that is also a dangerous person to be with. And all these things, there's treatment. There is treatment.
Yes.
So you don't have to really stick around with it and lose hope. There's always hope.
Yes.
But then you need to get the necessary help, because those are people that can really be toxic, that can really be dangerous in a relationship. Yeah.
Interesting. I want, you know, this is a very, you know, interesting topic, and I want to talk more, but I have to talk about economic violence. Coach, what is economic violence? For somebody who doesn't know what economic violence is, what is economic violence?
Thank you so much, Gele. Thank you so much again to your amazing listeners. So when we speak about gender-based violence, many people would immediately jump onto the physical or the sexual abuse.
Yes.
But one of the most insidious and often overlooked forms is economic violence, a form of control that strips survivors of their financial independence and traps them in cycles of abuse.
How?
Sure. You know, sometimes we find ourselves with partners that would take away financial freedom from us.
But coach, how do they take financial freedom away from me?
You know, I can give you a typical example. Sometimes you find yourself in a relationship with someone who would say, every cent that you make at work,
bring it to me.
Ngifunala.
Ish.
Literally every cent. You go to work, even your bank card, ihlala nabo. You can't do anything with your money, and you have to account for every little cent that you've used with your money.
Yo.
And I get it, in relationships, especially marriages, they say the two shall become one. So we can't necessarily say, it's mine, guami. You know, the two is one. But you find people in marriages and relationships where they literally have to account for every little cent, even when you had to buy essentials, you have to account and tell your partner, this is what I've done. And sometimes you think that is, you're reporting to the leader of the house. Gandhi, no, you're not even reporting to the leader of the house, or you're reporting to your wife, but you're reporting to someone who is financially abusing you.
But like you said, maybe somebody was going to say, we are married. We've become one. Yours is mine. Mine is yours. What do you mean I'm abusing you?
It's the how. The key word here is demand.
Okay.
The minute you start demanding my money, you start demanding the bank card, you start demanding reasons as to what did you do with that money? You got paid and then what happened? Or I gave you this money, what did you do with it? Then now you need to start and, you know, step back and start assessing, because that is financial abuse.
But let's say from a relationship point of view, maybe for instance, my partner says that to me, and I don't see it. I don't see it. Maybe Sis Pechu sees it. But how can you advise me, or you coach, how can you advise me if you see the situation at hand? What should I do in my situation? My partner is doing that to me, but how will I get out of the situation, or how will I be able to approach my partner in regards to the financial or economic abuse?
It's very unfortunate because it's also not the easiest thing to walk out of an abusive relationship.
True.
Right? Be it physically, sexually, and financially. But the first win in all these circumstances is acknowledging that you are being abused. And how do you acknowledge that you are being abused? Is when you now start getting the knowledge of this situation. Mm-hmm. If you have a friend who would come, or sometimes you don't even have to come and tell me, I could sense it, I could see it. Mm-hmm. Because every time we have to do things, my man has to give me the money, or my man has to say yes, my man has to. So kind of understanding what this could possibly be, then I sit you down and I talk to you about it, and then you have to acknowledge, because you are the one that's in the situation. Mm-hmm. You have to acknowledge that this could possibly be. But in terms of having to go back to your partner and say, hey man, or hey my wife or my girlfriend, I think you are financially abusing me, that's not going to be easy for them to do. Mm-hmm. So you might try to, there's ways that you could try and to step out of that situation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we could just simply say, maybe try and walk out of that relationship, because there's nothing you're going to do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But it also comes with manipulation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you'd say that my partner would say, give me every cent.
Yeah.
And then they manipulate me and say, yeah, but when are you always buying clothes? You're misusing money. And now I now start to think, you know what, he's actually being
absolutely
honest.
Absolutely.
You know, but how, already he's manipulated me.
Yeah.
Psychologically, I can't think for myself.
Yeah.
But now, economically, I'm also drained.
Yeah.
How do I maneuver? How do I, you know, make myself straight, or, you know, walk away? Because already he's the one doing the thinking
for
me.
Yeah.
How do I do it?
So, you know, Auspage, you spoke so much on, you know, the different types of people.
Sure.
And manipulation is one of the biggest or most common trait with abusers, right?
Yes.
So what I could tell anyone that is in any form of an abusive relationship, you need to seek help. You need to speak up. You need to find someone that you are comfortable with. Because another thing is that people complain a lot. You know, I read a quote the other day where they said a lot of people are dying of depression, but it's going to remain like that, because the minute they come and say, coach, can I sit down with you? Ksasa, I gossip about it.
Yes.
Ksasa, it becomes news on TikTok, you know? So we need to go back to the fundamentals of creating safety for victims. You know, the minute you tell someone that you need to go and seek help, it starts with you. We need to start supporting even the safe spaces, because you still find centers that deal predominantly with victims. We also need to start supporting those centers.
Yes.
Even if it's not just me, but you can refer people to a certain center. I can refer someone to Auspage to say, please go and see a sister of mine, this is what she deals with. So always seek help. You have to seek help. You have to speak up, because that's the only way we break the silence.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to financial abuse, because it is not commonly spoken of. But let's start with speaking up, because an abnormal thing is an abnormal thing.
True.
And you can see it, and you can sense it, you can feel it. This is not normal. So let's break up the silence.
But what role can, you know, self-care and self-love play in healing from economic violence? Because I believe you can heal from economic violence, right? So what role can self-care or self-love play in this abuse?
I always say to women, whenever I have engagements with them, I say that just getting your facials and getting your nails and your hair done, it's the least, actually, on the self-care list, right? Items on the self-care list. And again, I'm going to go back to what I said initially. You need to speak up.
Yes.
Self-care starts there. You need to offload whatever it is that is heavy, sitting heavy in your spirit. You need to find a confidant. It could be a friend or even a stranger. I've had people that know, but they've just found a safe space with me to say, hey, I just want to offload. So you need to start. That's where your self-care actually starts. Write things down, so that should anything happen to you, then there's something that we can find in your belongings. Journal your feelings. Speak to people. And also, educate yourself. Financial literacy.
Yes.
Guys, it's very important. We need to educate ourselves. In our black communities, this is something that is still a struggle in our communities.
Yes.
People need to educate themselves with regards to financial literacy. And I think this is something that also needs to start from in schools, not just when you're out of school, because that's where the foundation is built. So let's start from that point. Educate yourself. Speak up. And know exactly what you're getting yourselves into. Auspage, you said something that people are afraid of being alone.
Yes.
You always want to be associated with a man. You want a wife, or you want a husband. You need to firstly be intimate with yourself. And self-intimacy goes a long way. Before you get into a relationship, you need to firstly be self-aware of all these things so that when someone comes with an abnormal thing, you can quickly sense it.
Hmm. Interesting facts about it. What are some effective ways that we can, you know, raise awareness about economic violence? Apart from, you know, schools having to be financial literacy, what other, you know, ways can we, you know, create awareness about economic violence?
Again, we raise awareness by, you know, teaching about financial literacy. Mm. We raise awareness by supporting the safe spaces. As I said, that we know people, we know centers that are good, you know, in these things. And then we have to, you know, get up and refer people to their, to those places and those centers. And then we need to also challenge the harmful mindset.
Yes.
Because abuse messes up one's mind.
Mm.
So we need to fight that. We need to work so much on challenging,
yes,
those harmful mindsets. And yeah, speaking up, honestly, that's the first step. Acknowledging that you have a problem, acknowledging that your partner has a problem, that is also where it starts, and then you are able to step forward.
Thank you for that insightful information. We're about to conclude our conversation, but I would like you to, you know, share some advice for those who, you know, would like to know more in terms about, you know, economic violence.
All I can say is to my dear brothers and sisters, there's a thin, fine line between someone loving you and someone controlling you. Mm. Abuse it comes in different shapes, forms, and sizes and colors.
Yes.
You know, so you need to be quite aware of yourself, and then self-awareness would lead you to being aware of your surroundings and the people that you spend your time with. So what I can tell you is that, you know, be super mindful, speak up, share, you know, share to a certain extent, you know, the gist of your relationship, be it with your friend, go to therapy, you know, and speak to someone, you know, and you never know, man, we don't always see our blind spots,
yes,
but someone else could actually say, you know, yeah. I know Auspage, you offers those sessions, you know,
yes,
you meet,
yes,
someone, you're in a relationship with someone, and then she's able to say, come through, let's sit down, and, you know, tell me about your person, tell me about her, tell me about him, and then she'll be able to say, well, not on from that point.
Interesting. Fact.
And we hear Coach Harriet.
Yes.
Listen, feel free to come and chat with us.
Come through. Suspeche, I want you to, you know, share your last sentiments in terms of the you know, the conversation that we're having about intimate partner violence as well as psychological abuse from, you know, a spiritually part of your practice. What can you say about this as we conclude?
As we conclude, I would like to encourage everybody to say, you know what, in everything that we do, let's invite God in
it.
Yes. When you get into a relationship, pray about it. Mm. Let it not only be about you or what you see. The person may be handsome, they may be beautiful or whatever, they may be good to look at, but they may not be the one for you. So before things get deep, let us really have a conversation with the Lord to really find out, because God answers our prayers.
True.
You know, and let's also delay being sexually intimate with people, because once you cross that line, the bond is intensified.
Yes.
Where you find that when you want to leave, it becomes so much difficult.
Mm.
Because during sexual intimacy, there's a lot of chemicals that are being released.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a spiritual bondage,
yes,
that you're entering into. There's a covenant.
Hey.
Whether you say it or not, it is there. That is how, you know, there's exchange of and what this person has or what they don't have. And you are also indirectly tied to the people that they have slept with in the past if the person has not delivered themselves.
Hey,
so let us delay, please. Let's delay sexual intimacy, because I know people just rush into it. It has become a norm in society. It doesn't matter anymore, you know. I meet somebody today and we sleep. It's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah.
But there are serious consequences, because apart from the spiritual part, chemicals get exchanged. There's a deeper connection that you are forming, you know, and that is just how it is. You know, there's a feel-good hormones that are being released during sex. You know, your dopamine levels are increased, your serotonin levels, and those are the chemicals that are responsible to make us feel good.
Yes.
You know, and yes, I mean, sex is good when it's time for you to have it.
Yes.
that is why it is created. I'm not saying sex is bad, but then let's just be aware that there's a deeper connection that you really build in sex.
Yes.
That is why it's so difficult. Also, you know, Sister Gele said it's difficult to leave an abusive relationship. You know, we can say, why doesn't she leave? Mm. It's not as easy. Because of that emotional bond, the spiritual bond that you've created, you can't just leave.
It's hard.
So let's delay things. Study the person. Consult God. Mm. And then move in slowly. You know, delay sex. If he's yours, he will wait for you. Get married first. Let's not complicate our lives and have multiple spiritual ties, soul ties.
Hey, we We rebuke that spirit, Muruti. I think you can close it off with a prayer because she has closed it. She has closed the chapters. But as we close off, I need you to, you know, cement on what they have said. In also in regards to, you know, sexual violence. I have like 2 minutes to wrap up because Pastor Pechu, was in the spirit.
Exactly. So what I will say is the moment you pick up signs of GBV in a relationship, the sooner you leave, the better. It's more like, you know, if you put in water inside a kettle and then you don't switch it on, the water is there.
Yeah.
The moment you switch it on, it will start forming some small bubbles. It's a sign that the water is getting somewhere.
Mm.
After 5 minutes, those small bubbles are now big bubbles. The water now is boiling.
And it's hot.
The water that was cold, now it burns you. You know? So it's important that the moment you pick up the signs, run for your life. Before the water boils, because what if tomorrow when it boils, it leaves you with physical scars.
Hmm.
It leaves you with emotional scars. Hmm. It leaves you with psychological scars. To some people, it will leave you end up behind bars. To other people, you end up 6 feet under. So the sooner you leave, the better, because you will not know this boiling water, whether it will be used for a cappuccino or it will be used for a beat or it will be used for pap.
Or it will be, you know, slash on your face.
So the sooner you leave, the better.
The sooner you leave, the better. That was Mr. Clement T.C. Chauke, transformational speaker, social activist, founder, and president of Miss Influence South Africa. Joining him was Petunia Lenon, a spiritually centered clinical psychologist who has been in practice for past 19 years, as well as Coach Heret Mwape, a Miss Influence South Africa 2025 Woman of the Year. She's a motivational speaker dedicated to community upliftment and also a coach. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much for making time this afternoon to have this conversation. Till the next series, next week, Tuesday, same time, same place. Dago.
This discussion was brought to you by Government Communication and Information System, GCIS, a nation that works for all.